Hello, thanks for joining us for episode 11 of The Northern Line. This month, we're talking to James Leonard about Viva Match for the Ficken and Sanjay Deshpande about his work in India with the SVJC Trust. As always, we will begin by highlighting a few key dates for your diary. On the 26th of April, the A-Line Education Conference will be running as a free webinar, and we would love as many listeners as possible to join us. Mr. Ross Fisher is the keynote speaker for this event, and he will be talking about giving presentations and how to make your presentation stand out. The afternoon will also feature talks about many aspects of A-Line. There'll be something for everyone, so we really do hope you can join us. Register via the A-Line website. On the 5th of May, the first Northern Transfer meeting will be taking place online and will feature a wealth of great presentations from a range of areas such as paediatrics, palliative care, and the Great North Air Ambulance. There's still time to submit an abstract for presentation, but you'll need to be quick as the application window closes on the 16th of March. On the 26th of May, there'll be a wellbeing day held at the Catalyst in Newcastle. This is for anyone who works within anaesthetics and critical care and includes a number of workshops. Professor Suzette Woodward will be giving a keynote talk about patient safety and wellbeing. You can register via www.workingoutwellbeing.co.uk up until the 19th of May. So please do check out this event. It looks brilliant. Looking ahead into December, the next Management and Professional Issues course will be running on the 13th and 14th. This is a really useful course for anyone who's preparing an application for a consultant post, and it does get booked up very quickly. So if you're interested, do secure your place ASAP. Again, you can book via the A-Line website. There are plenty more courses and training days which are taking place, so do please have a look at the A-Line website for booking and for more information about these.
So we're now going to talk to James Leonard, who is the organiser of Viva Match, and he's going to tell us all about that. So James, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yep, so my name's James. I'm one of the ST6s, dual trainee in intensive care medicine and anaesthesia in the Northern Deanery. We are setting up Viva Match for the final Ficken structured oral examination on the back of how successful it's been from our colleagues who've done similar programs within the anaesthesia exam. So for both the FRCA primary and the FRCA final SOEs.
So tell me, what is Viva Match? Because I've signed up to it for the Ficken.
Yep.
But I actually have no idea what it is because I sat my primary and final a long time ago when this didn't exist.
Yep. So it is basically a peer-to-peer Viva practice course, which runs over a five-week period leading up to the next exam sitting, which is in April of this year. So we advertise and we ask people to sign up for a small fee, and then they give us the details of when they are free to do practice Viva sessions in that five-week period. And then we take all of that data and then we match up the candidates to do Viva practice with each other over Zoom. We then deliver them a timetable and the Zoom password so that they can then go ahead and do the Viva practice themselves. We don't offer any questions or any invigilating. It's up to them to come up with the questions and run the sessions themselves.
So you're kind of similar to what we used to do informally before.
Exactly.
A bit more of a formal process. Like that.
Yeah. Okay. And so, it means that you can practice with people from around the country and not just in your local area. Because I guess, especially with Ficken, there's a smaller number of people doing the exam versus, for example, the FRCA primary and final, where you'll often have a large number of candidates, even within your deanery, who you can practice with. I think with Ficken, when I did it, there was only four of us who were doing it at the time. And so while we did practice with each other, having access to a wider group of people to practice with is beneficial.
Cool. And is it the same person each time, or does it kind of vary with people?
No. One of the features of the algorithm that we use is that we make sure that you're not matched with the same person over and over and over again. Obviously, part of it depends a little bit on when you're available. So you may well be with the same person on several occasions, but we aim to make sure that you're not just getting the same person because, number one, people, it's good to see different people's examination and Viva techniques. And you'll also get exposed to a wider variety of questions by practicing with different people.
Okay. And how long do each of the sessions last?
So each of the sessions is for an hour at a time. We've got three sessions that are, there's morning, afternoon and evening. And the details of those will be sent out to the candidates once the application window is closed. And then all they need to do is mark on those times when they're available or not available. And then we match them up with people who are available at the same time.
And are all the people you match with, are they all trainees sitting the exam? There are no consultants or anything in there?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, they're all people who are doing the exam. So we won't have you being grilled by someone who's been an intensive care consultant for 15, 20 years who doesn't know how the exam works. These days, they'll all be candidates who are doing exactly the same thing as you, which means it's fair in terms of you can judge each other's performance in a kind of sympathetic and understanding way, and would expect that people would see that they will progress during the kind of the 5 week period. We'll also make sure that people aren't matched to too many sessions a week, so we'll usually stipulate a maximum of four, just so that people aren't kind of spending too much, because you've got to obviously do your day job and have a bit of a life outside of exam preparation.
Definitely. And you mentioned that the candidates come up with their own kind of questions. Do you have any resources that people can look at for those, or is it just kind of they have to do it?
Yeah, so on the kind of a kind of ground rules and fact sheet that we send out and that are on there, available to see on the A-Line website, there's PDF files there. And at the bottom of that, I've listed a number of resources that I use along with other people that I practiced with at the time of my exam. There are plenty more out there. There's a number of books listed on there, and there's also a number of different websites that are listed on there as well.
Cool. And you mentioned you had some people from like out of area, so outside of the Northern Deanery. Have you had many of those people come forward? Or
So far we've got nearly 20 people who've signed up, and more than half of them are from outside the Northern Deanery. I think at a rough estimate, we've got about seven or eight people within the Northern Deanery who are eligible to sit the exam in April. And I think most of those people have signed up, and then the rest are from around the country, which is good.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. Yeah, really. So how do you sign up for this then?
So if you go to the A-Line website, which is www.a-line.org.uk, and then you go to the courses listed there, and under intensive care courses, you will see there that there is Viva Match, and it's called Viva Match Final FICM SOE. And then you can click on a little button to find out more, and then you can click on a button to book a place on there.
And how much does it cost? You mentioned a small fee.
Yes, it's £50.
Oh, that's not too bad. So is this the first time you've run this sort of thing?
This is the first time that we've run it for FICM. It's run for a couple of rounds already within the FRCA programme. And they've had very good success with that. I think the latest data we had from the most recent primary FRCA was that I think the pass rate for the people who did Viva Match program with us was 94%. So I think out of 22 people, 21 passed. So pretty successful pass rate there, well above the national average. So what we hope is that once we've run this, we'll be able to collect data for FICM and hopefully show that this is a course that improves people's chances of passing the exam.
Is this kind of born out of COVID then, do we think?
So I think COVID has accelerated this, but I think the kind of wider use of social media and things like WhatsApp video calling and being able to kind of conference call with multiple people over even a mobile phone or a computer over the last few years has brought this into kind of fruition along with COVID. Obviously, during the strict lockdowns in COVID, the ability to kind of meet up with people either in work or out of work in someone's house to do practice for exams was kind of taken away from us. So it was kind of given a kind of a kick forward from that. But I think it probably would have come along in any case. And I guess it also has a small but kind of important environmental aspect to it as well, in that you're not having to travel around to visit to one location to do it. And you don't have to take study leave. You can do it in your own time. I guess theoretically with Viva Match, there is no real upper limit to the number of people who can partake in this, outside of the fact that the admin gets a little bit more complicated the more people there are, but that's not a kind of insurmountable object.
It sounds really good. So in terms of, you've got this stuff for the Viva, did you have do you have any plans for the OSCE? Because we know that has a really low pass rate for the Thicker.
Yes. So OSCE is a challenge. And I can say from personal experience that doing the OSCE over kind of internet was way more challenging than doing the Viva that way. Things like the simulation stations, I and other people that I know did the exam really struggled to kind of get to grips with the simulation, the way it was run over the kind of Zoom call. Obviously, Vivas lend themselves much more naturally to this kind of process. And that worked perfectly well in the actual exam as well. So as yet, we don't have a firm plan to do anything with the OSCE, certainly on a national level yet. We will hopefully be offering some OSCE practice to local candidates in the Northeast as a bit of a test run, really. But I think for the OSCE, it probably does require input of a faculty per se, really, to run stations rather than just doing it kind of peer-to-peer with the candidates practicing themselves, and to ensure things like quality control and making sure that the stations are representative of what kind of happens in the exam. I think that'll require a bit more work if we were to go down that road.
Yeah, it seems much more complicated than the Viva
kind of stuff.
Grand. Well, that sounds amazing. So one last plug for that. It's on the A-Line website.
Yep.
You can sign up. It's called Viva Match for the FICM. And it's £50. So anyone who's seeing it in April, get signed up.
Thanks very much, James. We're now going to talk about the SVJC Trust with Sanjay Deshpande. Thanks very much for joining us on the Northern Line. Would you mind introducing yourself for anyone who doesn't know you?
My name is Dr. Sanjay Deshpande. I work at the South Tyneside and Sunderland NHS Foundation Trust. I'm a consultant in anaesthetics and intensive care. I've been working in that trust for the last 22 years. I'm actually very passionate about this work. It's been going on since the last 16 years. I actually visited the hospital in 2005, and I just got astounded with the commitment and the dedication of the staff. I got introduced with this work when I was a trainee at Guy's in St. Thomas's Hospital, but I just left it on the side because I was pursuing my completion of specialist training. Once I appointed in the hospital as a consultant, in the year 2005, I visited this hospital. And in the year 2006, we actually got the first trip. And once the trip was done, we were absolutely, whole team was very rejoiced with the work we did. And the satisfaction we got out of the work was tremendous.
Can you tell us a little bit about the SVJC Trust and a bit about the local hospital?
This particular trust has been running for quite some time. It's based near Derwan, which is the midpoint between Mumbai and Goa on the highway. This particular hospital is a charitable trust hospital, and it is located in the midst of the population, which are very poor and needy. And there are no local hospitals in the vicinity. The local trust, the SVJC Trust in India, have done a lot of social, spiritual, and charitable work in that area. And one of the trustees felt that it probably will be appropriate to build a hospital for the local population. This was the mission statement was empowerment for all, particularly the women, because all the men who were in that particular area had gone outside the town to do some jobs. So they basically could sort of send money to the families. So empowerment and also to try and support the local population. Initially, when we went, the hospital was a small size hospital. It was just at about 150 beds. And over the period of last 16 years, we have seen a terrific growth in the workplace at the Walla Walkar Hospital. They have got about 1,000 beds currently. There is a medical school which started in the year 2015, And the first batch of the medical students are already out doing foundation program. The whole UK team has seen tremendous growth in this in this particular hospital. There have been trainees going on to do out-of-program experience initially, and then now out-of-program training for the last 5 years. The work has been approved by the Royal College of Anaesthetists currently. It is also available for medical students in all over the medical schools in the UK, particularly Newcastle. And there have been medical students, fourth-year medical students, trying to avail elective facilities at the Walla Walkar Hospital for a period of 4 to 8 weeks.
I wanted to touch a little bit more on the out-of-program experience that anyone who is interested could perhaps get. I wondered if you might talk a little bit more about what trainees might get out of the experience, or indeed medical students.
For the medical students, they see a different healthcare. We are fortunate in the National Health Service that we got socialized funding. So the health service is available for every citizen in the UK because we pay national insurance. Whereas in India, the situation is slightly different. They have socialized funding, but there is a lot of privatized funding. So the it's all sort of means tested. Depending upon how much income the family has. And because it has got a very large population, it is sometimes not possible to get the health service what you need immediately. There's also a lot of poverty and illiteracy amongst the population, and they usually tend to avail local facilities which are from quacks, those who are not doctors. Mm-hmm. And once things do not really work up to the last extent, or till the disease becomes quite untreatable, that's when they approach the hospital. So we see a lot of tropical illnesses in that particular part of the world, different sort of ways of managing treatment. So that is something the medical students seem to have sort of enriched their experience. Mm-hmm. For the anesthetic trainees, I have basically, along with my staff from the UK, have agreed that trainees who have done CT2 would be able to go and work over there to get experience in all fields of anesthesia and intensive care medicine, but also sort of education, because education is quite fundamental since the medical school has started. And what trainees have done is done quality improvement projects, which has been accepted as posters and presentations at the global projects held by the Royal College of Anaesthetists, and also been accepted in by the Association of Anaesthetists of Great Britain and Ireland.
I met a lot of inspirational people on my trips to Derwent, but one of the most inspirational was Mrs. Patil.
She is the medical director of the hospital, and she's qualified as a physician and has specialized in cardiology. Mm-hmm. But she overlooks at all the administrative and the social aspects of the hospital. And she's quite passionate about the work she does. She has done a lot of projects on snake bites and scorpion bites. There is so much to talk about that place that it is it's quite overwhelming. But certainly those who have been there have always expressed very high views about the standards and how much they actually enjoyed working and were very satisfied with the work they did. In the last 2-3 years, we have been doing a lot of educational projects via teams. And one of the anesthesia nurse practitioners, Ian Ingalls, who works at the Cramdington Hospitals, he has been pivotal in setting up this online training program for a week and has done successfully for the last 2 years. I just really want to be very grateful to all the sort of team members who have contributed to this project.
Yeah, it's been really nice to see people from all over the UK. So we've had some local people presenting as well as others further afield. And it's been a nice way to stay in touch, even whenever my personal circumstances haven't allowed me to go out even prior to COVID. So it's been a lovely way for people who perhaps can't go in person, but to be able to, you know, stay connected to the group. So I've been grateful for that opportunity as well. For anyone who's been listening to this and might be thinking about taking some time out or going to spend some time at the hospital, what would be the best things for them to do to sort of think about setting that up? I know at the minute getting a visa is difficult given the ongoing pandemic.
Absolutely. I personally have got that slide available on the Northern School of Anesthesia.
Can people get in touch with yourself as well?
Absolutely. They are almost most welcome to get in touch with me as well. So there are several ways of approaching several people who have been involved with these projects. Mm-hmm. And I would be grateful to try and be available to support all the trainees to enrich their experience. One thing which I just presented last month in Sunderland for the anesthetic trainees at Sunderland, and I just noticed that the year 2021, the Royal College of Anesthetists has changed their matrix, the training structure. And in the last year, you can actually do anesthesia in special environment, which basically includes working like at the Walla Walker Hospital. So if the program director and the trainee agrees to do this out-of-program experience, then if they go and do for a period of 3 to 6 months, when they come back, that particular training period will be recognized towards completion of specialist training.
Brilliant. And for anyone who's perhaps thinking about taking some time out between completing their core years or stage one training before applying for their registrar post, would this be an appropriate way that they could spend some time as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for interviewing, Sarah.
Thank you. I've been out with the team twice and I've been involved with the virtual teaching sessions for the last few years. It's been extremely rewarding to be a part of this group. And if anyone would like more information or is thinking about going out with the team in future years or as an out of programme experience, please do get in touch. That brings us to the end of this month's episode. Thank you for listening. We have a few changes planned for the next few episodes, and we're going to try to introduce an educational aspect to the podcast. If there are any topics you'd like us to cover, either as a revision aid or just simply topics you think would be of interest, please do get in touch and we'll try and include these where possible. We've been the Northern Line. Thank you for listening.